Welcome to Radio Kitchen. I'm Al Spohler. Tomatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. They're really rolling in right now, and the varieties seem endless. Classics like Big Boy and Beefsteak, heirlooms like Cherokee Purple and German Stripe, Petite Cherry and Grape Tomatoes, they're all out there. And Chef Jerry Pellegrino, all of this variety can be put to good use when you get to making gazpacho.
Yes, the traditional, well, traditional not what we think of as gazpacho, but the traditional soup nonetheless.
Yeah, and this is an ancient idea.
Right.
And apparently the tomato part didn't come into it till very, very, you know, about the 19th century.
Sure, when we see tomatoes in Europe becoming very popular.
But it started back in Rome when they wanted to have something they could use stale bread with.
Right.
So they just mash it up with garlic and put some olive oil in it. And make a soup out of that.
Yes.
Add a broth, perhaps.
And then all of a sudden, fortunately, tomatoes were added.
Yeah, eventually.
Because that sounds like a pretty boring project.
It sounds very boring.
And then a lot more, everything else has been added, because now gazpacho spans the world from watermelon gazpacho all the way up to yellow gazpacho to all sorts of things.
Well, you know, in different regions in Spain, it has different manifestations.
Sure.
In La Mancha, it's a beefy, a meaty thing.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little odd.
Right.
In Castilla y León, it's a watery broth with a lot of floating vegetables. But in Andalusia, you get the real thing.
Or at least what we think of as the real thing.
Yeah, and I think if you whipped it up and took it to Andalusia, they probably would recognize it.
Yes, exactly.
They probably would. To be classically correct, you would pound garlic cloves and soaked stale bread with a mortar and pestle. And you add a little bit of salt and some olive oil, and you get a paste. And the whole purpose of the bread is to thicken it.
Yes, it's a thickener, because crushed up ground tomatoes are pretty watery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to work with some juicy tomatoes. You want to peel them and get rid of the seeds. And
yeah, getting the seeds out is crucial, I think, to making a good gazpacho.
I do, too. Vinegar is a very, very important part of it.
The balance, again, with the acid is good. And so finding quality vinegar, to me, again, is real crucial to make great soup.
Right. Now we get to the key question about it. Smooth or chunky, or where in between?
In between.
Some people like their gazpacho. It's essentially VHUs, with a lot of coarsely chopped vegetables tossed in.
Yeah, that's an interesting version, and it's not what I like.
Some people refer to that as watered-down salsa.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what it's like, which is weird. I mean, I like my gazpacho smooth and silky.
And to me, it just makes total sense, because I don't want to necessarily taste individual vegetables.
Right.
I want to taste the whole mélange. Which, to me, if you puree it fairly well and let it set overnight, you're going to get a much better flavor than if you just kind of like coarsely chop everything and throw it in.
I think using an immersion blender or doing it in a blender in batches is crucial. And then I even push it through a sieve to get it really, really smooth, and to find out if you miss some seeds or if anything like that is in there.
And one thing I would recommend doing is make the puree version, then have little bowls of all the vegetables on the side. People can add as much or as little as they want.
And also, you know, crab goes really well on top of gazpacho, too.
It does.
As a beautiful garnish. A little Maryland crab tossed in some lemon juice and some Old Bay will never hurt a good bowl of gazpacho.
Olay.
Right.
I'm Al Spohler.
And I am Jerry Pellegrino.
And you've been listening to Radio Kitchen, produced by Bob White on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.